We'll start today with a reading from Psalm 51. I'm actually going to read Psalm 51. Psalms seem to have featured very heavily today. And it's obviously for a reason that God has chosen to deliver us a very strong message throughout the morning. So, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. I have recognised my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proven right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my innermost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep me long at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew it, a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me again the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to sinners, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing in your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise you. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you burnt offerings, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart, O God. You will not despise. Look with favour on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with worthy sacrifices and with whole burnt offerings, and bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. And the title for my talk today is Letting Go of Our Guilt and Shame. Do you ever think you've done something unforgivable? Something you believe is such that even God will not forgive you. And even though he does forgive you, you still can't forgive yourself. In putting together this talk today, I read a story about a lady who lived with a guilty secret. It took her a long time to share it, even with her closest friend. She felt so ashamed, and she could not forgive herself, and thought God would not forgive her either. This guilt she carried all this time was because of a decision she made many years earlier. And that decision was to abort her unborn child. She made this decision against the advice of her doctor, and she made the decision because she had a previous history of miscarriages. She was scared it would happen again. But she didn't question that information or that advice from her doctor. She went ahead regardless and aborted the child. But now, oh so much now, she wishes, more than anything, she had listened to him. Now, her pain and guilt was so strong that even after this time, when she decided to share this guilt with her friend, she could hardly bear to tell her what she'd done. Now, it is one thing when pain happens to us, but what about when our actions or inactions cause pain to ourselves, or worse still, pain to others? I believe this kind of pain, if you were to write a list of pain, it'd be right there near the top. This is a pain that, you know, that God, we feel that God will not heal us for or forgive us. Whatever it is we struggle with, we seem to have a strange, perverse idea that if we hold on to it and grieve over it, it's as though we're showing God that we're truly sorry for what we've done and that it'll make it up in some way. But we have to remember, Jesus' death on the cross was enough to heal the very deepest of wounds. And the very reason for his death is that we are incapable by our own efforts to appease God. I say to you now, if You have something in your past that you can't forgive yourself for, or you believe that God won't forgive you either, then I hope in what I'm about to say may give you some comfort, some way of healing your pain. Tell God that you need his love and forgiveness. The Bible has many stories of people who just got it plain wrong. But when they had a broken heart, they cried out to God, and he healed their wounds and restored them. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit." If we look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong." But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. Now note, it says every wrong. There's no discrimination. There's no, "We won't forgive that." And yes, you probably, as I thought when I read it, you're saying to yourself, if it was only that easy. But if you remember, certainly the people who were involved in study here recently, when we read David, he had difficulty in letting go of his guilt. And again, we remember back to the psalm. Now, you have to remember with David, he was no saint. He committed murder, he killed one of his close associates, and I remember rightly, he was fond of a bit of adultery as well. But when confronted with these sinful acts, he confessed with a broken heart to God. "For I recognise my shameful deeds that haunt me by day and by night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proven right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." If we go further into Psalm 32, again David tells us what happened to him when he tried to keep his shame and his guilt locked deep inside himself. "When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable and groaned all day." Sounds familiar. "Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgive me. All my guilt is gone." All my guilt is gone. I really like that bit. In the next verse, David shows us that by confessing our guilt, rather than hiding it from God, we actually hide ourselves in God and accept his protection. He is our refuge, one to run to, not to run from. "Therefore, let all the godly confess their rebellion to you while there is time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of victory." And again, I'll repeat that bit. "For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory." What more can we ask? You know, it's such a fantastic thing. It's such something we need to remember in our daily life. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." So by our faith, we must believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his wounds we were healed. Now if we consider these words carefully, and they're from Isaiah, just for a moment, it's about how Jesus would die on the cross for us. But we have to understand, they were written about a future event, but were written as though it had already happened, i.e. it's in past tense. Now, it took me a while to make sense of that and get my head around that when I read it, but when you think about it, it's true. But the importance of this fact is it shows that even before it had happened, God saw our atonement was already done. This begs the question now that Jesus has died on the cross and has risen from the grave to pay for our sins. How much more is already done? How much more is already paid for? How much are we already in credit? So ask yourselves, why do we torture ourselves by bottling in solid when Jesus put it, it's finished? Simple as that, it's finished. Once again, a psalm gives us the answer. Psalm 103, verse 12. He has removed our transgressions so far from us as east is from west. Now, if we go back to our original story about the lady confessing her guilt to her friend. Now, she had massive guilt and massive shame and found it so difficult to tell her, even her closest friend. And remember, she wasn't able to forgive herself for that act, and she didn't believe that God would forgive her. But her friend, obviously a fellow Christian, but was very caring, after hearing her story and seeing her pain and her guilt, came up with an idea of how she could help her and to make her understand that God had forgiven her. So she, in theory, would then be able to forgive herself. So a friend posted, apparently they were pink, post-it notes all over the house saying these very lines from Psalm 103 so she would realise that her slate had been wiped clean and that she doesn't need to hold on to something that God has already let go. Now, I've almost finished, but I say again, my hope is that what I've said has given us all, especially those who are stuck in that circle of guilt and shame, a little understanding of how to move on. So don't believe you can never be healed or forgiven and you'll never be whole again, because your healing has already started. It started when you accepted Jesus as your Saviour. His death and resurrection sorted that. So accept him and move on.